Hi guys, and welcome to another episode of Brown Car Guy and Buddies. And today I'm going to be talking to a very dear friend of mine, Arafat Ali Khan, based over in Dubai, where he's pretty much spent his entire life. I know him as a car guy. He's had a succession of very cool cars, and he's been very heavily involved in car culture and the car scene there, also helping us out in a lot of things, the car meets and things that we did over there. He was always at the forefront helping out and volunteering. But a lot of people will better know him, or more popularly know him, as the co-founder of Middle East Film and Comic Con, an incredible event that's been established over many years now and just continues to get bigger and bigger and grow and grow. And he was the guy basically that pretty much was at the center of all of that. So inevitably we'll touch on that, but we will be talking a lot about cars because that's what we always do when we get together. Anyway, before we get into that, make sure that you are subscribing to youtube.com/browncarguy. Make sure that you're following me on all the social media channels. Just search for my hashtag browncarguy. It's on my hat there. That'll be on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And of course, subscribe to browncarguy.com. Of course, you can sponsor my content on patreon.com/ShazadSheikh, and I'm going to name check some patrons at the end of this video. Cool, let's get into this. It's been ages. How long since we've seen each other? I think it's been a year and a bit, something for sure.
Easily. Yeah. If not longer, gosh.
How have you been keeping?
Yeah, all right. You know, I mean, as well as everyone, I guess, during these interesting times.
Yeah.
But keeping the faith, keeping happy as much as possible.
I know. Yeah. I was trying to think the other day, in anticipation of this conversation, when did we first meet? I mean, I couldn't quite recall. When do you think that might have been?
2007? Six even?
I mean, that was pretty much when I came here. Because I got to Dubai in January 2006.
And you were straight on to Car Middle East at that time, weren't
that's
you?
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
I'm trying to remember when I got the Audi Middle East account when I was still in PR.
That's it.
It would have been close. It would have been really close after you arrived then.
Must be, yeah. Because you were PRing at that time, weren't you, with Audi
I was.
For a while. So that was pretty cool. So you've done a whole bunch of stuff, you know, from PR, manufacturers, to Comic-Con, to all kinds of stuff. I don't even know where to start with you. But forget about all of that. What I want to start with, And I'm gonna have to rip a video later on. What I want to start with is this video of you that went up the other day when you were what 5 years old or something?
Are you kidding me? I was actually almost three.
No way!
Oh my God. I wasn't three yet because I turned three when we reached here in Dubai. It was just before I was three. Yeah. Oh my Lord. That's gone all over. I have to thank my wife for putting it up. Oh my gosh, it's going to be global now. There should be a warning before you put that video up, because that song gets embedded in your head, and it's not a song you want stuck in your head.
I think I'll probably just put the footage up without the soundtrack. Yeah. So you were 3 years old. Do you have any recollection of that?
The thing is, because my dad was in advertising for so long, and you know, we were part of it so much. And I was in another video as well, but that's when I was like an absolute baby. I have like very, very small fragments of recollection, to be honest with you. But I've just, when I was younger, I saw that video so many times that I guess that's become my memory. And then I hadn't seen it for a couple of decades, I imagine, if not more. And then, you know, through family, it turned up again. And I was just like, oh my goodness. You know, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. It's lovely to have memories like that.
It's amazing. And you're just so happy in that video. That's the incredible thing. But I tell you what, I saw the video and I saw the little kid. And I just knew it was you straight away. Because to be honest, you're still just as happy. How do you manage to maintain, you know what I mean?
I thought it would be the forehead.
Seriously, I don't, maybe, but no, I think you had a bit more hair then. But I mean, yeah, I don't know if it's, a bit of bromance going on. I don't know if it's appropriate to use the word adorable, and you're still adorable, but how?
Thank you.
but you've always been a happy chappy, haven't you?
Luckily and thankfully, I guess. Well, I guess I've always erred on the side of optimism, thankfully, you know, even when life as it is, you have your, you know, your ups and your downs. I always try and focus on the good, because there's always something to focus on that's good. You know, it's like, you know, it is human nature to automatically go to the bad bit, like, oh no, worrying about that, what if that happens, oh no, you know, sort of thing. But what if you try and do the opposite, you know? Even during these crazy times, I haven't worked officially, you know, with money coming in for over 6 months now, and you know, I could be huddled in a corner rocking back and forth. Yeah. But there's still so many great things to be thankful for, you know, and working on some very, very interesting stuff at the moment. And hopefully when it comes through in the next few months, it could be really big for everyone, for the community, for pop culture in general. So, you know, I'm just focusing like all my energy on the good stuff. I know it sounds simple, but yeah,
no, that's what
I try and do.
Yeah, no, I mean, to be honest, it's a very important message, especially at the moment, you know, because I think, you know, a lot of us are going through that difficult time, and a lot of us are thinking, you know, is this, you know, are we ever going to get through this? And I suppose the thing to, you know, when you have a few years on you, I suppose you can always go, well, we always get through stuff, you know, bad stuff happens, but then you always get through it, you know, and I think that's the way to look forward, you know, and I think the fact that you're keeping yourself busy, as we all are, as I am, I think that's the main thing, isn't it? So you said you moved to Dubai just before you were three. So pretty much your entire life has been in the UAE, I guess.
It has been since 1980, I believe. I turned three in Dubai. Schools, university, I chose to stay here even when I had the option to go to the US to study. You know, I just thought, well, I know everyone here, you know. Why do I want to go away right now? And I'm glad I did. Yeah. Honestly, the opportunities that I've had since university, I don't think you could have anywhere else. You know, like I'll just give you an example. If I was in the US, I wouldn't have had half the opportunities I had. I mean, I studied advertising and marketing communications. And I managed to do an internship at Saatchi & Saatchi, which, you know, still is one of the biggest, you know, ad agencies, you know, has gone through various iterations. But, you know, if you're in the US, there would be tens of thousands of people vying to, you know, be in an agency like that. But over here, you have that opportunity because you are one of maybe a few hundred, you know, and then being able to go straight into a multinational like DHL and stuff. I really, you know, they call, you know, the West, the land of opportunity. But I really feel at that, you know, especially at that time, and still, you know, this is really the land of opportunity, or maybe it is any place, and it's what you make of it. You know, it's your mindset when you go into it. So I am very, very thankful, and this place has been good to me. It's been a wonderful, wonderful place to live for the last 40 years. And I hope I can continue to live here because this is home.
That's amazing. No, I think you're absolutely right. And I have had previous conversations in this same series, in fact, for example, with Damien, a very good friend of both of ours, you know, and we were talking about the fact that, you know, coming to the UAE, I mean, I got to be on radio for 6 years. I got to do a TV show. I got to edit a car magazine, which was like a dream for me. And I've said in another video that I knew that even though I worked in what was EMAP at the time, and I worked at Parker's, I launched the Parker's website, and Car Magazine was across the floor from us. So you could actually actually see them there. But they were very snooty. They looked down on us because we were parked as a used car, and they were like, you know, aspirational supercars, you know. And, you know, and I knew even at that time, even though I was already at that in that arena, that I would never get to be editor of car over here in London, you know. So I came to the Middle East where I was able to do all those things. So I met you through car, and you were PR for Audi at the time. But that's not your only connection to cars, because you'd always been into cars, right? You've got a fair, you know, you've done track days, you've had a collection of amazing cars. So how did you get into cars? Where did that come from?
That's a good question. You know, no one's actually asked me that before.
That's why we do this series.
That's really interesting. I mean, I guess, you know, as a young boy, at the time, you had those posters up, you know, even though I was a geek as well, and I had, you know, the Star Wars and the comic book stuff up. But, you know, I have an older brother as well, and he liked his cars as well, even though, you know, at that time, it was all just focused on work stuff and nothing fancy for either of us. Yeah. But we had the Lamborghini Countach, you know, poster up. It was a massive one as well, you know, framed up right outside our bedroom. And we had another, it was a classic car as well. Actually, you know what? My dad, he used to collect these 1 to 18 scale cars, you know, the Bibarago and the Maisto and stuff at the time.
So now we're getting somewhere. Yeah, so your dad was into cars.
Yeah, you know, so that's, maybe that's where it was, because, you know, he had his small collection of 1 to 18 that my brother inherited, and then actually he's gone on to make an unbelievable collection. And he's in the UK now with that collection. It's all in storage, unfortunately. So maybe it was that. Maybe it was being exposed to that as much as I was. You know, it was interesting, because I, you know, some people are inherently good drivers and they can, you know, kids get behind the steering wheel and they're off and stuff. I wasn't, you know, like my dad, you did some car reviews as well, actually, funnily enough, for magazines back in the day. Yeah.
Wow.
You know, it was just a side thing. Yeah. And I remember.
When would that have been?
Early 90s.
Interesting.
Early 90s here. Yeah. He got this Volvo, gosh, what was it at the time? The boxy.
Yeah, it would have been a
90s Volvo.
It would have been a 740, I guess, something like that.
I don't think it was the T5 that I really wanted, you know, to check that out for some reason. But I think it was the 740.
That came later, the 850 T5.
Yeah, right.
Later. Yeah, yeah.
So I think you're spot on. You know your car.
But you know what? It's quite funny, because my first ever car review was a Volvo 740 in Saudi Arabia in 1989. So
that is what a. I mean.
And there's a whole story about how that got me arrested. But look, we won't go into that now. That's for another time.
My dad, you know, it was an auto, and my dad was like, oh, why don't you try and drive it? It was this massive open lot. And I was so scared just driving it in a straight line that I was like, no, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. But he had a couple of cool cars as well. He had, oh my goodness, like the 80s, we had this two-door Datsun, and it, which model was it now?
Would have been a Laurel, maybe.
I don't know. It had those, you know, those louvres on the back.
I think it's a Laurel coupe. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That
right.
Those were massive in the Middle East in the.
Right.
Yeah.
So that was there. So that was a, you know, funky, sporty looking thing, and he then bought a Mitsubishi Gallant with the two-tone colors, you know, the brown and the darker, which was really nice as well, and then. I think the last car he bought here, which was a really nice one, was the Ultima, but you know, the really the sporty looking one with the nose, with the sort of with the nose coming down in a nice gray color.
I remember it was the very early 90s one. It was very, very cool.
Which
kind
was
of
really
went,
cool.
That was cool.
Yeah, it wasn't the 2.4. It wasn't the 2.4 liter. I believe it was the just the basic 2 liter, but it still looked so awesome, you know.
So what about your car history? What was your sort of when you got into cars? What did you get yourself?
So when I think this was sort of early 2000s when I sort of started my first job, and I was like, oh, okay, you know, I can afford a car now with my own money, which is great. And I was actually really, really interested. And it's funny how I remember some of these figures, and you're going to need to do a, you know, currency exchange to you know, for US and dollars and pounds and stuff. But I remember I wanted a Civic SIR, you know, the classic Civic SIR. And they were selling them here, the proper ones, and that was about 60,000 dirhams. Uh-huh. And I was taking a loan. I mean, I was earning like 5,000 dirhams a month. You know, it wasn't not a lot. And it was just like, I can't afford that. You know, I just can't. And my dad was taking me around to different, you know, car showrooms, and I went to the Hyundai showroom, and they had a 99 Hyundai coupe in British bottle green, the one with the cat's eye lights, and it was manual, and it was 44,000 dirhams. Uh-huh. I mean, brand new, you know, warranty and all. And I was like, hey, 140 horsepower, it looks sporty, why not? You know? And I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And I'll tell you, there's one...
And your dad was probably like, well, 140 horsepower, he ain't going to get himself into that much trouble.
Exactly. You know, he knew what he was doing.
Yeah. He was like, that's a good place to start. Let's start it with that
Yeah. I remember having a race with a friend of mine who had a BMW 7 Series, and he destroyed me.
Bad idea.
Yeah. We were just having fun, but oh my goodness, it was laugh. But I'll tell you, you know, I was enjoying it. But I'm going back to that question you asked, which is what got me into cars.
Yeah.
And a mutual friend of ours, again, Fraser Martin.
Yeah.
He used to run autocross days, and you know, with various organizations over here, EMSF and stuff. So one day I pulled up and stuff, and I visited every so often these autocross, just watching. And, you know, I built a rapport with Fraser. And, you know, one day I pull up in my Hyundai, and I'm like, ooh, you know, I want to show my car. And Fraser's like, oh, wow, so you're participating then. And I'm like, oh, no.
You're like, am I?
Yeah. I don't know anything about racing and stuff, and like a newish guy anyway. I think it was like a few months in anyway.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, you should try it out. And I think it was like 300 dirhams, 150 dirhams. I don't remember. It was still a bit of money, you know, especially for a young guy who's just paying for a car and stuff. So I was like, oh no, I can't afford it this time. Maybe next time. Maybe I was making excuses. And what he said, he looked at the people taking the registration. He looked back at them. He was like, sign this guy up. It's on me.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so sweet.
You know, he's such a gem of a human being.
This is the thing about Fraser, because a lot of, and he's been on, he's on it, so people can look him up, because he's been on one of the very early episodes that I did. I had Fraser on here. And people always say, like, you know, he's a cantankerous old Scotman, and, you know, he's a bit grumpy and all this, you know. But actually, he's got a heart of gold. He has, completely. And he's actually, despite the whole Scottish stereotype and thing like that, but he's actually extremely generous, you know, not only in terms of money, but just in terms of his kindness as well.
Yeah. And I can say nothing bad about that man, honestly, you know, like I'm so grateful to have been in the automotive industry when I was, to have met all of you wonderful people as well, you know. So I raced in that autocross. I think I came last or second last in, like, out of everyone who was there, but I didn't care. I just had so much fun, and so I was hooked.
So before you go any further, I just want to, because for some people watching this, I just want to define it, because it's called different things in different places. Yes. So in the UK, I think we call it the auto test, you know. So what it is, right. it's a slow speed thing. What's first, second gear maximum, isn't it? Maybe third gear, but probably just first, second gear.
Maybe third, yeah.
And it's a short course around cones against a stopwatch, single person out at a time. That's what it is. So it's a very the beauty of it is that it's a very good test of car control skill, because if you if you push too hard, you lose time, and if you're too slow, you lose time. So it's finding that balance that your car can do those maneuvers. That's the best way of defining it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was horrible at it in the beginning, but it was just such a thrill, you know, because there wasn't much fear of any major repercussions, damage to the car, or because you're not going
space.
That fast.
Yeah, there's loads of space and cones. You're not going that fast,
Yeah, the most you'll like run over some cones or slide off into some open area. So that, I think that's what it was so appealing. And I don't know, I was always that, you know, even for a geek, like a super geek, I was always into what's on sort of what's the latest cars being, you know, like released and stuff like that. And I still am today, you know, whether I can afford that supercar or not. Do I want to see a drag race? Yes, I do. You know, it's like,
So moving on from that, I mean, you didn't do track stuff, did you? You stayed to the autocross stuff, or did you do
I did a few track stuff with my next two cars after the Hyundai, but that's where I stopped, because it, you know, you have to be very committed to that, because tire wear, fluids, all of that, brakes, you know. And I was just like, oh gosh, I'm not that into it that I want to be paying that much for replacements, because they're not cheap on performance cars, you know.
Just name the next two cars that you had after that.
So, you know, as I said in the beginning, I'd wanted that SIR. Yeah. And it just so happened that Honda here was getting in for the first time the official Civic Type R. I think it was 2001 when the EP3 Type R came out. And I was drooling over that thing for a while. You know, I don't know if Google was around at that time, but I Googled everything, you know. And
probably Alta Vista or Yahoo. That
maybe,
was probably, yeah.
But you know, at work, I was like printing out the e-brochures, and by my wallpaper was the Civic Type R. And the first year they actually came out with the car at a brilliant price, like a brilliant price. It was 72,000 dirhams, brand new.
Wow, that is very good.
Yeah, and because the next year they bumped it up to 90 because it was so popular. Yeah, so I bought it at the right time. Again, you know, on loan. And I was just like, I got a good price for the Hyundai, which I think was shipped off to Russia or something. So the Civic Type R, and that's when the modding bug started with the Type R. But what a car! What a car, my gosh. I still, you know, it's the one which had the gear shift out of the dash almost, so it didn't really have a center console. If I could have kept all the cars that I've owned, I wish I could.
That's the one.
Oh, man. I mean,
they're worth quite a bit now. They're going up in value, those ones.
There you go. You know, I mean, it was practical. Like, with the seat folded down, I was able to stuff in there. And it was just such a hoot to drive.
You stuck with Honda for a while after that, didn't you? Because you had, I remember you hadn't, because what I knew you had an S2000.
Yep.
And you had an NSX, which was bought from another mutual friend of ours, which actually I had done a review on as well. So you bought the same car. That's interesting. You bought the same car that had appeared in Car Magazine. That's crazy.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. There you go. Like, maybe subliminally you were selling me cars, Shahzad. That's what it was supposed to be, isn't it?
I've been guilty of worse things, so that's fine. So you stuck with Honda for a while.
I did. The S2000 I owned for 9 years.
Wow.
And honestly, I would have I would have kept her if, you know, she wasn't feeling like she was getting on.
Right, it was
145,000 kilometers and things were starting to creak and leak. And, you know, I went through two radiators already in her. But what a car, that S2000.
Amazing.
I mean, till now, when I see one on the road, my head will turn.
Yeah.
Because it's just, it is still such a good looking car, both drop top and the top up, you know. I wish I'd been able to keep that. I wish I was able to keep the NSX.
Yeah.
You know that, I mean, it was a special car that. I mean, it was temperamental, that's for sure. And I only found out why during the process of selling her, which is a bit of a shame, but hey, what you're going to do, which was a faulty ECU. Some of the points had actually burnt.
So the signals
kept on getting messed up and it would cause issues.
Yeah.
If I just changed that ECU, anyway, but it was a 91 and the previous owner was a good friend, as you were saying, had done a beautiful job in doing a 2002 facelift.
He'd upgraded it, hadn't he? Yeah.
With NSXR bits.
Well, you know, actually, I preferred it before. I said that at the time, didn't I? I said I preferred it before with the pop-up lights. I mean, come on, pop-up lights, you know. But let's move on from Hondas, because then you went muscle car for a while. You went full muscle car. You went Cadillac CTS-V.
I did, and you know why actually? Because it was manual.
Yeah.
I found it was quite a unicorn over here. They'd only ever brought in two, and I was, you know,
it's funny you say that because I probably drove the other one because I featured a manual CTS-V in Car Magazine, which I adored. I loved it. And
the white one, right?
No, it was the same color. So when you bought yours, I thought you'd bought the same car.
I thought you bought the same car.
Yeah, but then it turned out that it wasn't. Yeah,
thank God for that.
Never buy a press car. Yeah, exactly.
So I'd sold the NSX and I had this amount of money and I'd said, you know what, I'm going to take my time and I'm going to look around and shop around because I still had the S2000. And I was like, so I have a perfect, beautiful car. I'm in no rush. I'm just going to have it. And I was quite interested in the Z4M Coupe.
Yeah.
At the time, the lovely cars, but they were all in rough shape.
Yeah.
All the ones I'd seen. And then I saw this ad for the CTS-V and I'd been in one, a coupe, I think the CTS-V coupe, and I wasn't very thrilled by the looks at all, but this was a sedan and I was like, this is interesting. Yeah. And the guy, I still remember, I think he was a British-Singaporean gentleman and the car looked like it had come out of the showroom.
Yeah.
He had kept it so well from paint to interior. It looked like it was a new car and I drove it. And it was what I loved the power, of course, was coming from the Hondas, which
556 horsepower, wasn't it? Something
like that. Which is ridiculous, you know, coming from, I think the NSX was maybe 300, the S2000 was 240, maybe 250, 260 after mods, who knows?
Yeah.
550, massive, insane, like tires squeezing all in third gear.
Yeah.
But what I remember that sort of sold it for me, was it handled?
Yeah.
The car really handled. And I was just like, this does not feel like I'm sitting in a big sedan.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what kind of clinched it for me. And how long did I have that? I had the CTS-V from 2013, I believe, until last year.
Yeah.
So,
just to give a lie to a lot of people saying about the quality and reliability, I mean, you had no major issues with that car?
I didn't until I did.
Right.
You know, so the thing is, what was I up to? I was up to 140 again, I think, maybe 1,000 kilometers. And it felt like it was just every so often, too often, it needed to be in the garage for something. Shocks.
Yeah.
You know, brakes and discs, fine, but little fuel pump. You know, I had to order in the fuel pump because it was way too expensive here. And other small things, just like all of a sudden, oh, this is going, that's going. And it more than anything, because I love the car, I still do, you know.
Yeah.
Thankfully, the current owner still keeps on sending me pictures because he's done a bit of work on it. So I'm really happy about that. But it was just getting frustrating. It was just getting so frustrating. I was like, I can't, you know. It was like mentally, it was preying on my mind all the time. Like, oh, is it going to be okay? Is something going to go break down now, you know? And that's not a nice place to be, you know, sort of.
And then you finally bought the Z4.
Never, never Z4. Upon the desert.
go on, tell people what you've really bought.
I bought the 2020 Supra.
Yeah.
The Supra, yeah. I think they figured that out by your cheekiness and my reaction anyway.
And how's that been?
That is my first automatic car. It's the first auto car I've ever owned.
Wow.
In whatever, 25 years. Yeah, of drive, maybe 20 plus years of driving, and I'm loving it. I don't know, maybe I'm getting old, but I remember I went to the showroom because, again, I was looking around, you know. I was like, you know, I don't want to go over a certain budget, and this was pushing it, to be honest, brand new. And, you know, I went up and I was like, no, they're not going to let me test drive it and stuff. So I was having a chat with the sales guy, and I was like, is it possible to take it for a test drive? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, okay then, sure, you know, sign me up. And I went a few days later and I test drove this thing, you know, and I was remembering S2000, you know, that sort of thing. And the first thing that like really hit me was, this thing shouldn't be this fast.
Yeah.
You know, it was much, much faster, and it felt like it had a lot more power than what they were saying. As soon as I was coming from a 550 horsepower supercharged.
Yeah,
you know. So I was like, oh, nothing's gonna compare to that.
Yeah.
But I was smiling, you know, I was just like, ooh, you know, and it had that little bit, it has that squirrely back end, you know, that sometimes it will sort of lose it, like the S2000. And so it reminded me of that as well. And, you know, that power, the looks I loved, you know, as well. And the handling and the feel that I know, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, it's too twitchy, it's not good, you know, but I like that.
Makes you feel alive. Makes you feel alive.
Yeah.
Right?
Anyway, yeah.
We're nearly out of time, so we can't go without talking about, of course, the other big thing that you're most probably more known for than cars. and again, it goes back to what you were saying right at the beginning of this, when you were talking about the fact that UAE presents that opportunities to do stuff that you maybe wouldn't get a chance to do elsewhere. And you essentially founded or co-founded Comic-Con in the UAE.
Yeah.
I mean, we've only got a few minutes left, but what was that experience like of doing something that's gone on to become like an establishment now there, hasn't it?
That is the epitome of dream come true for me. You know, and again, I think, you know, you sort of segued back to what I said earlier. Where else would you be able to say that?
Yeah.
You know, than here. And I can't say enough with the sort of the team that came together to build that, you know. It was such a joyous time that I'll remember fondly for forever. And to have been able to really see, you know, your the things that you've been thinking of and dreams you've had sort of come to life in front of you. I am going to be eternally grateful for that, because it's opened so many opportunities. I've learned so much about the entertainment industry, worked with some amazing celebrities, been to studios in the US, movie studios and TV studios. And especially for me, because I'm a huge comic book guy, as you know.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Meeting some of my favorite artists and writers over the last decade.
Yeah.
You know, and going to Comic Cons in UK and the US, going, hi, you know, like, I'm from Middle East Film and Comic Con.
Yeah.
I'd like to bring you over. And the friends I've made.
Yeah.
Oh, Chaz,
And drop some names, because we're talking some superstars now, aren't we? Go on.
Yeah, I mean, we've had everyone from William Shatner, Anthony Mackie, the Falcon. One of my favorites, just because I had a crush on her forever, was Gillian Anderson from X-Files. Game of Thrones, Nikolai Coster-Waldau. You know, there's so many. Hayley Atwell as well. Crazy names. And also, you know, from the comic book world, you know, like the creator of The Crow, James O'Barr, artists like Jock and Humberto Ramos. I mean, there's so many. And more, I would say that they were all just really wonderful people at the end of the day. It's been a joy. You know, thank you for asking that question.
It's incredible. Your achievement cannot be understated in any way whatsoever. It's incredible.
Thank you.
You've created an establishment that will just live there. You know, it's incredible. And I guess you're still part of that, and you're going to carry on. You plan to stay in Dubai. I'll tell you, one of the regrets that I have, because we were working very closely before I came back to the UK, and we were working on the next generation of car events, weren't we? You know, and it was going to be combining sort of our experience with doing car meets and your experience with doing Comic Con, and we had an incredible plan. It's just a shame that never came to fruition, right?
Yeah, that would have been something special. That I really feel it would have been something special. I would have revitalized that automotive genre.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of dulled over the last few years.
The Dubai Motor Show has essentially died now, hasn't it? I mean, the last one I heard was a complete, you know, damp.
I haven't been. I mean, the last one I went was the ones where you guys were involved, you and Imtishan. And I haven't been since. And I mean, it's motor shows around the world as well with the internet, you know, which is not a new thing. And now over the last 6 months, we've seen all these amazing live reveals and these 360 degree tours and things that you can do. Well, I mean, the motor show doesn't hold that much excitement anymore, does it? I mean, it doesn't for me, you know, I don't have that same spark when I think motor show anymore. And the world needs a new brand of automotive events as well. Who knows? You never know what the future may hold for us.
Never say never. I've been looking forward to the British Motor Show, which was cancelled this year, but which will happen next year.
Because
I went to the press conference for that, and when I was listening to the press conference, I thought they might have stolen our scripts, because a lot of the stuff they were saying, I was like, hang on. But it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Listen, mate,
we've gone way over the clock, as always, you know, but that was always going to be inevitable, you know, to catch up with you. That was always going to happen. But it's been an absolute joy and a pleasure to catch up with you again on this thing. And thanks so much for doing this. I think we'll probably have to carry on, because there's obviously so much more to talk about. We'll do that another time. But thanks so much for doing this. Take care. And I hope to maybe see you again very soon.
Thanks, Chaz. And thanks for thinking of me. It was a pleasure doing this with you. Thank you.
Oh my God, it was always going to be such a joy and a pleasure to catch up with my good buddy Arafat there. And I told you we were going to talk a lot about cars. But he's a great example of Dubai giving you these opportunities to do things that you maybe wouldn't be able to do anywhere else. And, you know, what an incredible achievement he's had with Comic-Con and what he's set up there has just been absolutely phenomenal. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed that conversation. Let me know what you thought about it in the comments above below elsewhere. If you know Arafat, leave him a message. message in the comments above below elsewhere, that would be great. Or let me know your interactions with him. Don't forget to subscribe to youtube.com/browncarguy and hit that bell notification icon so you don't miss any of these videos, including check out this playlist, which is Brown Car Guy and Buddies. I've had some great conversations with some amazing people. Don't forget to follow me on all the social media channels. Just search for hashtag Brown Car Guy. As you can see it on my hat, that's Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And of course, subscribe to browncarguy.com. If you enjoy my content, then please think about sponsoring my content. And you can do that on patreon.com/Shazad Sheikh. And there you can also find some, you know, freebies and goodies and things like that. And a big shout out to people that have already done that currently or in the past. And that includes Muhammad Ali Humaid in the UAE, Partha in India, Tom Conway Gordon here in the UK, and Isaac over in America. You guys rock. Thank you so much for doing that. And maybe the rest of you would like to join them. It's from as little as £2.40 or $2.40 a month, less than the price of a cappuccino. Even if you can't, then no worries. Please continue to like, comment, share, and subscribe. That is all greatly appreciated. And I'll see you all again soon in the next video.